I have two speaker cards and a couple more coming, it looks like. So anybody that wants to address the board outside the normal agenda items, please submit a card to Patty. The first card I have this morning is for Mr. Alan Levine.
Good morning. My name's Alan Levine, and I represent Coast Action Group out of Point Arena, California. We've been working on timber issues since early 1990s and a recovery of impaired water bodies since the list their listings in 1995 and the consent decree in 97. So I want to talk to you about timber WDRs. Many of the sediment, and I would say most of the sediment and temperature impaired North Coast rivers have been and continue to be impaired by one predominantly large land use, and that's timber operations. And I can't overemphasize that fact. Most of the rivers are adversely impacted by historic and ongoing timber operations. That's a predominant land use on the majority of the listed North Coast rivers. So I'm saying that we need to be careful with the timber WDRs. At least that's the implication. And last May, I guess it was, you approved the NTMP WDR, the WDR for NTMPs, and I worked on that with staff, and I think we came up with a good product, and I'm fairly happy with it. I'm never entirely happy with anything. But included in the NTMP WDR was wording about compliance with the anadromous salmonid protection policy that's stated in the forest practice rules, and also included in the NTMPs that they must have a road maintenance plan for the areas of operation under the NTMP. I just want to point out that with the general timber WDR, those items are not included in the general WDR. So that's a weakness. Thus, the NTMP WDR, which is ostensibly for operations that are less impactful because NTMPs are supposed to cause less problems than general timber harvest plans, your WDR is weaker. Additionally, neither WDR considers hill slope sediment production. And I went back and looked at the EPA TMDLs and your old TMDLs, and hill slope sediment protection is a legitimate factor to be considered. It's about between 20 or 30% of total production, and that item is not addressed in either WDR. And there's also new information from Pete Cafferata, hydrologist at CDF, and Randy Klein, another hydrologist, that indicates that there's potential for significant sediment productions from hill slope operations. So the general WDR does not consider anti-degradation. That's a general statement, but because of these shortfalls, you're not really dealing with anti-deg in the general WDR. So I'm saying that if the general timber WDR is supposed to be a backup for TMDLs and impaired status of the North Coast rivers, that it needs to be fixed. And I'm asking the board to give staff direction to look at how we might approach that. The last thing I wanted to point out is that WDRs are part of your NPS program and your non-point source program. And for that to work and for us to address those issues, that the WDRs must be robust enough to address these shortfalls. I'm done.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay.
Next speaker card I have is for Ms. Brenda Edelman.
Good Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. First, I want to say that I'm thrilled to hear about the monitoring on constituents of emerging concern, and I would like in any way I can to be part of the process. I certainly have huge amounts of information on the topic, and if I can help in any way, I'd like to do that. I'm really here to talk about something else today. In 2008, the biological opinion issued by the National Marine Fisheries Service was authorized, and it included requirements for yearly temporary urgency change orders to lower flows in the Russian River during the summertime. And that was to occur until permanent changes to Decision 1610, which governs flows in the Russian River, would be changed to also lower flows. And there's not time enough to get into the details of how they get lowered, when, where, and that situation, but there was never any opportunity for public input. This was just issued by the service. So what we're stuck with now is a situation where every single year the Sonoma County Water Agency is required to apply to the state board for a permit to go into dry weather and critical dry weather flows and to operate the system in a way to greatly lower flows in the river during the summertime. I have been focused on the area, the lower river. I'm not going to talk about upper river issues, but in terms of the lower river, the biological opinion did not address water quality impacts in the lower river that will result from low flows. Now, in most years, there are natural tributary flows that increase the flows of the lower river that are not under the control of the Sonoma County Water Agency. The last year we had where there were severe low flows and pretty severe water quality impacts was 2009. Then in 10, 11, and 12, we had a lot of natural flow because we had late spring rains, and there were no problems, no significant problems that we observed to the lower river in those years. This year, we're faced with a totally different scenario, and that is in December, we had huge rains. The Army Corps of Engineers released 25,000 acre feet from the Lake Mendocino, and then we went on to have almost no rain since then, leaving the reservoirs in very difficult circumstances to provide water for the salmonid runs in the fall. So what happened, we're faced with a situation where now flows are less than half, in the lower river, less than half of what they were in 2009. In 2009, in August, the lowest the river went on one day was 45 CFS. Normal is 125. Most of the time, it averaged around 60 to 65 CFS. What we're dealing with now is right now at this point in time, the flows are less than half of what they were this time of the summer in 2009. And we are beginning to see, were the pictures, we had talked about some pictures that I emailed. And
they actually got submitted to us in writing, Brenda.
I took pictures in two different, just a week apart at the Monterio Beach. And you can see an enormous lowering of the water levels at that beach that demonstrates that on June 1st, the levels were 125 CFS, which is usually normal, but it's also very low for this point in the season. 1 week later, they were down to about 80, and you could see a major difference in the beach. Now, what I'm concerned about is the water quality impacts that occurred in 2009 that were quite severe, was you had water temperatures were in the range of averaged about 25 Celsius, which is very high for fish. You also had high bacteria counts where there were many, many postings on the beaches, far more excessive than anything that occurred. They do weekly tests. I believe your agency and both the health department do weekly monitoring and publish that monitoring. And then if it's at a certain level, they'll post a notice saying, swim at your own risk, there are problems. If it gets beyond a certain point, they close the beaches altogether. Well, there were no beach closures, but there were lots of signs going up. And so the other issue we're very concerned about is we did a report on algae and Ludwigia, and there are massive amounts of all different kinds of algae, and I don't know all the different kinds, but there were many different kinds noted. And so there seems to be a direct correlation between low flow and high bacteria counts and excessive algae. And Ludwigia as well proliferates during the low flow. This is not only a problem for people who want to enjoy the lower river, where most of the economy is based on recreation, but it's a huge problem for public health issues. Now, a lot of people come from other places, and if they get sick or their animals get sick, we don't hear about it because then they go home and they deal with it at home. So there really isn't any way of tracking it. Plus, it's not too popular with the resort owners and the people who are in business because they don't want to get a have the word go out that the river is a big problem. But basically, the big thing that I was asking for is I've been going all over asking for mandatory conservation. There was mandatory conservation in 2009. I did a graph that we just sent around that basically showed contractor water use for the summer months for the last 5 years. And it went down considerably in 2009 because there was a very strong effort and there was mandatory conservation happening. And what that meant was that people just had to pay more money for higher water use. And it really got people's attention when you have to pay for it. This year, nobody's willing to talk about mandatory conservation. I've actually been contacted by the state board on this. We have a call scheduled for tomorrow between state board staff people from the Water Rights Division and also your staff to discuss this issue of water quality impacts of low flow. And I believe I'm just, trying to keep it simple, and I think mandatory conservation would make a big difference, and I don't feel there's been adequate discussion of why they're not doing it. They are doing other conservation measures. They are going to do a lot of publicity trying to make people aware of the problem, but I've seen letters to the editor and the PD where people say there's no water problem, they're just oblivious to it. So, in any rate, I could say a lot more, but I know you have other things to talk about today, and I'm open to any questions you might have about the situation. I've also been in contact with your staff, and they've expressed concern also about this issue and are paying attention to it.
Thank you, Brenda. These were passed out to us this morning, both your pictures and the information as far as the contractor water use. I appreciate that very much. I would tell you, I was on the river this last week. It is noticeable. It is noticeably lower, I should say. It's going to be a tough summer, I have a feeling. I actually also just attended, which as did you, the low flow meeting that was out on the lower river, and there is a lot of concern. There's more to come on this, I know. And I thank you for your information, your consistency with your information with putting this together.
Can I say one more real quick thing I forgot to mention? And that is, as of July 1st, There's a storage curve, and if the storage levels go down below a certain number, and that's very likely it'll happen if it happens for 3 days, then they go down to 50 CFS for the rest of the summer. And as I mentioned, in August of 2009, they were higher than that and had severe problems. We don't even know, and they could go down as low as 35 CFS, which is virtually no water at all. So I don't know what your agency is capable of doing in this issue. I heard some reference made to the water quality impacts of low flow, and I know there's been talk about this at the state level, but I really think more needs to be done in the area of conservation to address this problem.
I appreciate it. Anybody have any questions for Brenda? Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you very much.
I have one last speaker card for Donna Gallagher.
Wow, you guys are pretty kind with your time zone. I haven't seen anybody do 3 minutes yet. I'll try. My name is Donna Gallagher, and I'm a nutritionist when I get a chance to work. Most of the things I do are volunteer. I'm here on behalf of Clean Water Sonoma Marin. I'm on the groundwater committee for the Board of Supervisors to do a management plan, and four of your staff members came and gave us a talk last month, and I brought up the issue of fluoridation, and they said, you should come and put this on your radar if it isn't already. So the reason why I'm here is to ask if maybe we could have it on the agenda, because currently the Board of Supervisors is going to vote probably between October and March, October of this year and March of next year, on whether to fluoridate or not. Now I see there's someone from Eureka, and you have someone from Crescent City. I wish she was here, because I applaud Crescent City for removing fluoride from there just last year. They stopped doing it, as you know. And Healdsburg should do that too. Anyway, the main reason why I'm here, and just not to take up a lot of time, is this is a bait and switch. Fluoride is a drug and shouldn't be put in the water, but that's not what will be put in the water here. It's hydrofluorosilicic acid. It's an acid, and the words used on the outside of the actual thing at your water agencies that use it, like Marin Municipal, is caustic and corrosive, and it requires someone that's trained like a hazmat person to put it in, and it actually ruins the pipes on the way in. You have to replace them quite often. So it seems to me that with the name quality in your name, you should be really concerned and against something that contains arsenic. I understand the EPA has a zero tolerance for arsenic, and this has arsenic in it. I brought you a packet to share, sorry. But my biggest concern is that, and I have a little DVD here about the damage to salmon. They cannot tolerate the amount of fluoride that would go into the waterways, because once you put it in the drinking water, really more than 90% of it goes out back out into the environment, and we only have a tertiary treatment plant. If we drink it, it goes back down the drain into the tertiary treatment plant. We don't have a nanofiltration reverse osmosis plant. It goes right back into our reclaimed water. And at that point, if the EPA was doing its job, released in that fashion, the arsenic, that would be halted immediately. And you all know that, right? If they were really actually doing their job when the arsenic gets released at that point. So worse, fluorine or fluoride, any of its compounds, is the most reactive element on the periodic table. If it goes up to the geysers and it's heated up, it concentrates, and some of it turns into a gas. So it is a really volatile element to put in here, but it causes cancer, and we have the research. And I just to end on this, it was pretty serendipitous that you had the state guy here. That was interesting. I'm glad I'm here to learn this, because he talked about the public health of our state, how it waters way down on the issue. Well, I'm telling you, I know it has, because for decades, they've not even looked at their own policy of fluoridation, and they have not looked at any of the scientific studies that actually say it causes cancer. It is way down on the list. When that guy was here and said that, I'm going, I've been fighting with that for years on this one. So my request is that you have, I will be happy to do a presentation. I brought a whole packet, a little, not a lot for you to read. I know you guys, I see what you have to read. Your stack is pretty thick. But there's a DVD, and it's more fun to watch. But my request is that you do put this on your agenda, that you take a stand. This seems like right up your alley. This should not be, this poison, this toxin should not be degrading our water, and it'll go into our groundwater too. So I thank you.
Donna, can I ask that you, for one thing, thank you for coming. Can I ask that you give your information, sure, submit it through Patty Corsi, and it can get back through us?
Sure.
That's all right. No, just that it gets fairly distributed to all board members.
Do you have any questions?
Any comments or questions for Donna? Thank you, Donna.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate it very much. I have no other public speaker cards. Let's move on to approval of the meeting minutes from the May 2nd.